Book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. 13 through 17? Oogie. I have to read more? Okay. I can do that. 13 through 17. Good thing Danny's in front. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. It's on page 1174 in the Pew Bibles. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins.
All right, everyone's got to go where they're comfortable. This thing, I got to kind of jump to see you guys. And I need something to put my stuff on. But welcome, everyone. It is good for us all to be here to worship God together. And visitors, it is so good to have visitors here. And I'm not going to mention my brother Jim, who's here, because I wouldn't want to put him on the spot. So before we get started, let's go to our Father in prayer. Awesome, holy, powerful, incredible God, be with us and be in our lives that we can see you in it and that we can make a wholehearted attempt to find you and use all you give us to show you to the world. Father, be with us now and be with me now as we try to learn from your word. And it's in Jesus' holy and powerful name we pray. Amen. As my beautiful bride, Lori, already knows, when I learn a new word, I use it for at least a week until some new word comes up and then it's completely forgotten. So, synopsis. Bam! That's a new one to me. So I decided maybe I should give a quick synopsis of my life changing to finding God. I'm always a science guy. And I had problems understanding the whole thing and just going for it. I needed science. And things in creation that I learned about just changed the way I looked at it. The large-eyed beetle. It's a little bugger that sits on a pond that doesn't move, but yet it can go to the left, to the right, backwards, forward. It can spin. They had cameras on it. It doesn't move whatsoever. But when they examined it, they found it has a little gland or organ on the bottom of each leg that secretes some substance that breaks the water buoyancy. So it can spin around, it can go any direction it wants, and it never moves. I thought, wow, that's, the world wants to believe that in time that can happen. I believe a lot of things happen in time, but I believe there was intelligent design behind it. Also, another one that I loved, and there are zillions of them, because this was years of looking into the orchid. The bucket orchid. It's an orchid, I think it's a big size one, that attracts bugs, but a certain bee, when a certain bee comes to it, it can get to a certain place and it kind of slides down, and a little opening is right there for it that only this bee can fit into. And so when the bee goes in it, the orchid bucket grabs the bee, two little, like, I don't know what, they got some fancy name, I'm calling them arms, come down and stick a pollen sac that it produced this like super glue on the back of each side of the bee. Then the plant holds that bee long enough for that pollen sac to dry, this glue, and then it opens up a different tube and a bee takes off. I heard of smartweed before, but this orchid bucket takes it to a whole new level. I could go on for hours why I believe in God. This changed my thought process about God. I went to parochial school for 8 years, and I thought I knew everything about God. I had my parents' faith that they told me I should have. If many of you guys went to school for only 8 years, would you be where you are now? I realized I had to grow from my parents' faith and find my own faith. That's what we all need to do. If we still have a faith that was handed down to us, I'm not saying that's wrong, but we have to make it our own. Okay, what do we got here? Oh, I just wanted to mention, while you're going to see me flapping pages. Sometimes when you make faith your own, your life is going to change. Lori and my life absolutely changed. In many ways, we even had some very good friends that we associated with many times a week. And when they told us, come on over again tonight, but leave your God at home, just you come, that's when we realized our life was going to change and we no longer associated with these folks. Okay, this scripture reading, when I was first fighting with it in my head, at first you wouldn't think it just flows together, but I knew it would. You just had to think about it long enough. But my beautiful bride, Lori, said, okay, well, how do you tie it all together? And us guys, even if we don't know anything, we're still experts on the subject. But I had a little problem with that, and I had defensive flags swinging all around, so I never answered her. But Lori, I have figured it out, and we'll get to that later. Would people, if you want, open pew Bibles to James chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 13. While you're doing that, I'm just going to tell you, too, the title, Not My Problem, Daniel. I will explain also later, and later I will tie everything in. Okay, I'm just going to do these, since we heard them, verse by verse, and you already heard my synopsis. Now listen, you say today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, and carry on business, and make money. We are busy people. We have plans upon plans upon plans upon plans. We make time for everything. But we forget about the day. We forget about making specific times for God. We get lost in the world. We all do. I do. But we get so tied up into it, sometimes it encompasses our mind. When I'm sitting here in the pew, I can't keep focused a whole while. Few people can. The world is a busy thing. We make many plans. I wrote, if you ask Lori this morning, I had papers everywhere. And I was writing. This is weeks of thinking. But Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Today is the day we can act. Today is the day we can make a difference. We don't know when we have tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. You can look at the paper or read the news. There are a lot of people today who tomorrow won't happen. You can have an impact today. Verse 14, and I'm going to kind of quickly go through these and then tie it. Why, you don't not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, then it vanishes. Okay. Do you realize 105 billion people have walked our planet? 360,000 births a day, 15,000 an hour. 151,600 people die each day, 6,316 an hour. Our life is quick. Our life is fast. One of the great scholars group that started in the 1960s, they were called Pink Floyd. They said, then one day you find 10 years have passed behind you. No one told you when to run. You missed the starting gun. So often, as you get older, time just flies. Well, my mom, at 99, we lost this wonderful woman, and she's in joy right now. But I can't imagine how fast time must have flown for her. This little girl that was over at our house a while ago, and we asked her, how old are you? Time goes different for younger people. And she looks at us and she goes, still two. She knew at three there would probably be more good things happening. She was the baby of the family. So in Philippians 3:13, Paul tells us, which is good advice, forget what is behind, strive to what is ahead. We can't do anything about the past. We can think about it, but now, in the present, is the best time to strive. This is the best time. I don't know if anyone else does, but I have a lot of things I carry with me, baggages of guilt that can bring me down. Through Jesus Christ, I was forgiven. I can throw that stuff out. But I bring it with me. We have to forget about the past, to move on, to make an impact today. We can't be saddened and burdened by ghosts of the past. Okay. So, my little note says, summarize 13 and 14. Don't live just for tomorrow. Don't make all your plans, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Remember how quick things pass. Life is just a vapor. Life is just a mist. 15. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Some of these I have to read because you put them together. To say the Lord's will is to acknowledge His complete control of the entire universe. The more you say it, The more you say it, the more you add it into your daily events, the more humbling it is. The more of Him, the less of me. I started doing that, and we did a men's class on it. If it be the Lord's will. It's amazing when you start saying that in your life. Not only are you conscious of Him, but you're conscious of what you're doing. Am I doing the Lord's will? You know, I didn't say as I was driving here on the bike, if it be the Lord's will, I'm really going to get mad at the first person who pulls out in front of me or something like that. We have to include the Lord in our daily lives. Okay. It was a great change for me. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. When we keep God involved in what we do, God is there with us. And even when plans don't go the way we want them to, we have the support and the confidence to know through Jesus Christ that God our Father and Jesus are right there with us. Whether it good, whether it bad, we have a support group. John, 1 John 5:14, and it says, "This is the confidence we have. Anything we do in God's will, He will grant us." It changes your life when you think about what you want to do. Do you want to do what you want to do? Do you want to do what's in God's will? It's all about submission. It's all about humbling. James tells us, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." It is much better to be lifted up by the Lord than it is to be lifted up by mankind. Mankind may have its thrills, may have its joys, but remember, we're a vapor. The Lord is everlasting. I can almost do that. Okay, great story on that. So I'm with my daughter and her friend. It's nothing to do with the lesson. But we're driving in the car, and sometimes I say silly things. So I snap my fingers. That's when I could snap them. I snap my fingers, and I say, "You know why it makes that noise?" And these are like sixth grade girls. And they say, "No." I said, "Because your fingers actually break the sound barrier." And they both, "Wow, is that cool?" And as we were driving, "We're breaking the sound barrier." I couldn't let it go too far. It was too much fun. But when I tried to snap, I had to throw that one in there. Okay, number 16. Bam, this is a tough one. "As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. For some of us, shy wallflowers, this is not a problem. But the world loves to boast and wants to teach you to boast. Large boasting is easy to spot in others, in us. But boasting can be subtle, almost undetected." I say almost. You almost don't know you're doing it. "But the desired result is the same from all boasting. Attention to me." What do I got here? I got, where did I put that in there? I got you mentioned in there, Brad. "When I'm busy in me, I'm not busy in the Lord." So we have a men's group. And on the last month, we play dartball. And it's the big 4x4. I don't know if anyone ever saw one. It's 4x4. And there's a big, you stand 18 feet away. And you use a big wooden dart. Juan was the only one that could try to do it overhand. After several years, he realized you can't throw 18 feet like this. But so you got this big board. And it's a baseball diamond. And the first base is a big white square. White is good because you get on base. Second base is a little smaller. Third base is smaller yet, quite small. And home is this little tiny thing. And we are encouraged to joyfully have fun with this. We always have the Holy Rollers playing the Bible Thumpers. And so those are the two teams. And when I went up there, the noise was loud, and I didn't realize the boastful thing I was doing. You have a handful of darts, and you're lucky if you hit one of those white things. You're 18 feet away, so they're making noise. So I walk over to where we have the darts. I set down all the darts, and I just have one dart, and I look at them, and I get ready to, and Brad goes, "You're boasting." And I didn't realize it. I thought it was fun. It was fun. And no harm was intended, but yet it's that little bit of a crack at something can work its way into. You know, it's something opening the door. It didn't open the door to great things there, but it was something that I never thought of, just that simple little arrogance, you might say, and putting down those and holding that one dart in my hand for 18 feet away, looking at this little tiny white square like I'm going to hit it. I dropped it right in the middle of the white. That thing was right on. It was a triple. So summarizing this, we shouldn't just live for tomorrow. We have to think about today. We have to realize how quick our lives are, that we don't know. We have to realize, knowing this, we should put the Lord's will in these daily actions. And sometimes, if you're battling something, if you're battling something you don't like within you, and the worst thing you can say is, God, I'll never do this again, you're going to fail. Go for one day at a time. Say today, when you do that one day, you can throw it out of your mind. It's garbage. You can't attack me anymore. When I say, yeah, I'll never do that again, you know you failed. You know you didn't make a firm commitment. But to battle something one day at a time, you can. So our lives are quick. We have to watch out. When we boast, it's all for personal attention. The attention isn't for us. A Christian is a servant. That's what makes Christianity very different from the other faiths. A lot of faiths are wonderful and have wonderful ideas on how to treat humanity and people, but a lot of them are to find out who you are within yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus says, I am here to be a servant of all. Jesus says, no self, that doesn't matter. We're here to serve. That's the difference, I personally believe. Okay, so, now, Lori, I told you that this will all make perfect sense, so I'm going to need all your participation in here, because when I figured out how to make this all blend with that last verse, it kind of seems like it was thrown in there. I heard those angel voices. Oh! So, I'm going to read it, and then you are going to help me with one word. We are going to blend this whole four verses together. Now listen, you say today or tomorrow, we will go to this city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you brag and boast, and all such boasting is evil. Now, ready to help me? What does this say? Therefore, anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. One word, therefore. Therefore always means, and I learned this in a men's group from a lot of the scholars like Cliff and Dennis and all these other people, you can't start with a therefore because it takes what's up here and gives you the reason you're doing it. Those up there are giving us the reason that anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Okay. So we got Now, before we get on to that, I got to explain to you the title. Not My Problem, Daniel. You have to say it that way. Lori and myself were blessed with a gentleman who we helped for over 25 years. He wanted to be called Little Davy. He was about this big. He was one of the orniest little son of a guns you ever met. And he was a special needs person. He was capable of living on his own, but he had no social skills. He would yell. He would say a lot of things that are amazing. He'd call me on the phone and leave a message. I talked to him every day. We saw him. At the end of his few years, we had to start doing his wash and making sure I'd take him shopping. But he'd call me up and say, "Daniel, you ugly. You call me immediately or you dead." And poof. And that was his message. I didn't put in the words that you don't use in a church. But David and myself also had our own language. Lori could understand some of it. But not my problem, Daniel. I'd tell Davey when I'd take him places, "Davey, you can't do that." "Not my problem, Daniel." "Davey, you can't do that." "Not my problem, Daniel." The world thinks that. Look at the world around you. So many things we can change. There's so much good it can be done. But what do you hear? "Not my problem, Daniel." It is our problem. It wasn't Davy's problem. Davy was able to live on his own, and it was incredible that he could accomplish that. Another wonderful thing Davy said, I'm going to move on to this, but when he was really sick and we were going to lose him, wonderful Davy, who was very... He would say to me, he'd say, "Daniel, when I die, I haunt you. Rest of your life, I haunt you. I kick you in butt all the time." So that wasn't Davy's problem. Sometimes when I come home and I'm wah, 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 and what do you say, Lori? "Not my problem, Daniel." I have heard "not my problem, Daniel" a lot. And those aren't Lori's problems. Those are my problems. But we can't have the "not my problem, Daniel" attitude in the world. We are Christians. We are set free through Jesus Christ to do God's will. Now I'm going to read this last verse. And in Luke 18 and 19 and Mark 10, Jesus tells us, they say, "Good teacher," to him. He says, "Only God is good." Listen to the last verse now when I say God for good. "Anyone then who knows the God he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." That changes it. That's what a Christian is all about. Doing the God. You can say whatever you want is good. And for some people, what is good might not be the same for the other. Some people it might be Brussels sprouts. Some people it might be this. Some people it might be they feel it's good to go dancing. Some people might not want to. But when you say you do the God you need to do, or you sin, when we do God, we are doing the will of our Father. We as Christians know that. That's what we do. We do the God. The God is our good. Jesus was a good example. Jesus always, and it's cool because Jesus is a historical figure, not just by Christianity. There are Syrians that wrote about him. There are Romans who wrote about him. There are Jewish people. And they all conform, although they may not believe it, but they all have the same stories. It's wonderful. Jesus, just one of the zillion examples. Luke 5:12. Jesus and his disciples are walking, and a guy covered in leprosy comes to him and falls on his knees and says, "Master, I know you can heal me if you are willing." Jesus doesn't just say anything. He raises out his hand. Can you imagine being the disciples there? Grabs this leper's hand and says, "I am willing. Be healed." You want to hear an example of good? Jesus says to us for every need we have, "I am willing. Be healed." That's the attitude we need to have. When we do the good, when we do the God that we should, we have to be willing. Okay. Don't want to put anyone on the spot, so I won't let you know I'm actually talking about Monroe and Julia. But if you figure that out, it's okay. Lori and myself, for mentors, for role models, and for friends. We had no one like Ramon. Monroe and Julia. There's a friend at work called Ramon, and I always call him Monroe. But like Monroe and Julia, when we weren't sure what was going on with what you do, we were taught what it is to be a servant. We were taught how to handle things. And it wasn't just Monroe, it was Monroe and Julia. I have just a couple quick stories. When Monroe was already at a care center, and he was in his wheelchair and might have been dozing off or whatever, and we were pleasantly talking with Julia, and it might have been Lori mentioned, or else maybe even you guys came during the visit, but they said, oh, someone's in the hospital. We got to visit them. Monroe tried to jump up, and he said, someone in the hospital? I want to go visit them. Do you remember that, Lori? I mean, it just moved both of our hearts that even in this stage of his life, this is what a servant is all about. This is the good that we do. And he had a purpose. This was when he was still at home, and he might have been 90-ish, and there was ice cream being served after the Wednesday Bible study. And I always said, well, I'll get it. And Monroe just kind of like jumps up. Says, oh, no. I got to get it. And I said, Monroe, you're 90. Just sit back and let someone serve you. And he says, no, I can't because of heaven. And I said, what, heaven? And he said, yeah. He says, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So his intent was heaven bound. His actions and Julia's actions were driven by that heaven-bound attitude. Galatians 6:9, never grow tired of doing good. Never grow tired of doing good. Colossians 4:5, make the most out of every opportunity. Never grow tired of doing good. Make the most out of every opportunity. There's always an opportunity. What's the saying? Don't find difficulty in opportunity. Find opportunity in difficulty. We are not alone. Guys are almost through. Okay. Good is not accomplished by pleasantly thinking about a good deed that can be done. Here, wait. I'm getting out my imaginary soapbox here. Now I'm going to get on it. I'm going to hold my Bible here. Getting on my soapbox. The road to hell is paved by good intentions. Good intentions do us nothing. Action. Jesus said, do unto others like you'd have them do unto you. He didn't say wait till they do something for you. He said do it. It says to do action. That is what we need to do. James, I'm going to read one page back. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Francis of Assisi said, we need to bring Christ to the world. And sometimes you're even going to have to talk. That's the attitude. Our actions, our lives, that's what show people we are something different. Jesus said, they'll know you are Christians by your love. That's what is different. And that's the good we need to do. That's the God we need to do. 2 Corinthians 5:10. All will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. To be judged by what good, what God you did, or to be judged by your evil. And all will get what is due them. Let's just turn this here. I got one here. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15, it just says, burn, baby. There's a chapter in Corinthians, and it says, if your foundation of what you do is not built on Jesus Christ, when it comes to everything being checked down, everything at the end, when the end of time, it's all just going to burn. And you're going to get to heaven as one escaping through the flames. You don't want to get to heaven by escaping through the flames because you say, I believe, I do this, I go to church on Sunday. You want to be one of those people where Christ says, welcome home, good and loyal servant. That's what we want to hear. That's why we are different. If we don't practice what we preach, the road to hell is paved by good intentions. I'm going to just read this. Do good, do God. It's easy. Doing good is doing God's will. The kindness of the congregation, the love of the congregation, the good, the God of the congregation, when we bring it out to the world, out of these doors, it does a lot more for leading people to Christ than any sermon from a pulpit will. It's the good we take. It's the kindness we take. It's the love we take to the world that brings out the God to the world. The good we do says please to the world. The good we do, the God we do, says thank you to the world. The good we do says love to the world. The God we do says love to the world. In the first book of John, five chapters, the word love is used in that book only second for the amount of time the word love is said to the book of Psalms, which is 150 chapters. The little book of John, it tells us about love and it tells us God is love. If you love, you are in God. The good we do is the God we do. We're all human. We screw up. I can tell you all this, and I can actually, and I hope never to, lead someone, and things are mistaken. I call this my Keek story, a guy. So, you know I love to do the sunrise walks. I do a sunrise walk, get up before anyone else on the beautiful shores of Lake Michigan, the beach, the sun, everything's reflecting. And I walk about a mile and a half on the beach, and on the way back, I collect trash. I have a trash bag. And I just take the foam, styrofoam, and plastic. And that's what you do. I know the good I should be doing. That's why I started doing it. Thinking, I know this I can do. I can't stop it all. I can't do whatever. But so it's like 6:45 in the morning, and I ended up with an extra bag, and I got a walking stick, and I got this big piece of styrofoam, and I'm walking down the beach carrying all this stuff. And I noticed coming down some steps by this Seven Bridges, they call it, a beautiful place in Grand Park, is a guy with a little chihuahua. And I go, wow, that's Tom Keek. And he was walking a ways. And I go, hey! And he looks at me and goes, oh, homeless dude. Oh, and he's calling me. And I see him, he's starting to like act like, and his dog is doing one of these dances, and you know what the dog's going to do then. So, but he's kind of dragging it, and he's trying to get out. I go, hey! And then I go, Tom! And he goes, oh, he called my name. I just imagined what was going in his head. And I said, it's me, Giambi. And he goes, huh? And so then he came up to me, and he saw what I was doing. He says, wow, that is so cool. That is so good. And I told him, I tell these people that if you know the good you should do and you don't do it, I'm sorry to say this, a lot of times I candy coat it. I don't say you sin because the world doesn't want to hear that word anymore. I say, you're doing wrong. They can take it for whatever they want, and if they're curious, we'll go more. But so he's going, oh, it's so cool. He says, let me take some of that stuff for you. You know, I'm like this. And you know, guys, we don't need no stinking shopping carts. When we go shopping, we got things, we even got them under our neck, and we're walking like this, because we don't need no stinking shopping carts. So I got all this stuff, and I said, Tom, you pull out one of these things, and it's all going down as I'm making my way to the thing. And there's this big messed up area 30 yards behind me. I said, Tom, if you want to help, grab up all that stuff and just throw that away. Because people tend, it's not they're bad people. It's just they don't know. They need someone to tell them. So he goes, oh, yeah, I'll do that. So I'm walking. I empty the stuff out, and he gets there. And I hear him picking up and everything. So I'm leaving. And I hear, hey, what are you doing with our stuff? The people were off to the side. And they're assuming he's ripping them off. So I told him to do the good. But it didn't work out the way we wanted. Sometimes we want to do good, but we can't be discouraged when it doesn't work out the way we planned. When I pick up, Lori went with me once, and Lori goes, how can you do this? It's such a mess other people get. It's irritating. Just because someone is messing up doesn't give me the right to say, not my problem, Daniel. Please take from this that we are here not for what we get here from the good we do, from the God we do. We are here to show the world Jesus Christ and God, our supreme Father. As is customary, if anyone feels the good they want to do right now is by coming up here and asking for prayers, when someone comes up and asks for prayers, you don't realize how good that is. Not only for them, but it's always for the church too. When I'm praying for someone, my mind is being focused in a positive light, in God's will. So if anyone wants the prayers of the church, please feel free to come up as we sing this song.